Yeah, how was it? Yeah.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, it's a geeky boners episode. Not only do you hear about what's got us hard, but we answer our own five questions.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I am your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my husband, Nick Glover.
Hi.
And Tim Wick.
I am not her husband.
That's true. That's a true fact. That's a rock fact.
It's not even legal. I mean, I'm not even, even if we wanted to right now.
Yeah. Know. That'd be bigamy, Tim.
Yeah.
That's awful.
Yeah. Even Kim Davis would not be put in jail for refusing.
That's true. That's as many as 410s.
Yeah, that's terrible.
That's terrible. All right, so we it's time for a boners episode. Geeky boners.
Yay.
Oh, that's a sign of my dick hitting the table because it's so hard.
The table.
My dick is under a table.
Because it's so hard, and I said the table.
No, my dick.
Right.
That's the joke. Good job, Nick.
That's fine.
Way to identify the joke.
I was making fun of your joke.
My joke was perfection, like my boner. Speaking
the
of boners.
Perfect boners.
Speaking of boners, Tim.
Sure.
What's got you hard?
My boner is this coming October soon. I think a week after this goes up. I've got three different performances of Big Fun Radio Fun Time. One is our standard Big Fun Radio Fun Time. It's super exciting. Part of the Twin Cities Horror Festival, we are producing two episodes of Big Spooky Radio Spooky Time.
Yes!
And the cool thing about that is just that I've been able to get some really good scripts from some really good writers, including, of course, my fabulous co-host on this podcast, but also horror writer Brian Keene, friend of the show Joseph Scrimshaw.
Exciting.
Tim Uren, and just... Tansy Underscript, I don't know if you follow her on Facebook. She writes
great.
Like micro stories every morning, and she wrote a story for this, and it's just a really neat collection from a lot of really interesting voices. And we're going to do two shows with four different scripts in each show. And I've been just reading through these scripts. I'm getting super excited.
And you are in the shows. And I am in the shows. And Nick will be at the shows, most likely.
Yeah.
It's really exciting. The script we wrote, we decided to go more silly with it. And because we figured, maybe the other horror writers would be more horrifying. And we went, it is the story of the song, The Monster Mash.
Yes, it is.
It is. If you pull up the Monster Mash lyrics, everything in the lyrics happens in our script.
That's right.
Yeah. I feel like we need to perform the song. After we do that,
can we put the lyrics in the program or something? If we have a program, I would do that.
Yeah.
Very good.
That would be a good idea. Your script is great, and it's nice. There's this mix of funny and genuinely creepy.
Good.
And I wrote two scripts.
You wrote two. I was a beta reader for two of yours.
Yeah.
They're good. They are funny, but also kind of creepy. Like, there's one about kind of telling ghost stories around a campfire.
Yeah.
And then there's one about haunted houses.
About ghosts going house hunting.
I remember you talking about that one.
It's really funny.
It's going to be a really fun show. And I bring that up just because I am super excited about it. If you're listening and you're in the Twin Cities, it's the Twin Cities Horror Festival at the Southern Theater. We've got two shows, one at 7 p.m. on October 25th, which is a Sunday, and one on Halloween.
Saturday.
The 31st
at 7
p.m.
You don't need to go find drunk slutty girls at clubs. You should come watch some positively amazing radio theater.
Yeah, I'm thinking...
And find the slutty girls there.
Yeah, they'll be there.
I'm thinking they don't know where the keys are.
Yeah, I'll be there.
I'm thinking that for that show, I'm going to tell everybody that the dress code for all the voice actors is going to be sexy radio voiceover performer.
Excellent.
So we all have to wear sexy radio voiceover performer costumes.
I'm going to...
This is Jeffrey.
Yeah, yes.
So,
that'll be exciting.
It should be fun. So that's my boner.
That's a hard boner.
It is super hard.
Nick, do you have a nice, hard, throbbing boner?
I do. So, as I've talked about before, I play a lot of Bungie's big game Destiny. The Year 2 DLC dropped last Tuesday when we record this, at least. And it is huge. It is about 80% of the content size of the original game. But it feels like much more than that. All they right. added shit tons of stuff. A lot of people are really mad because of the way they changed it so that basically a lot of your old gear and a lot of your old progression stuff is made completely invalid. There's very little mechanism to bring any of your old equipment up to the new standards of equipment. There's some what people might identify as power creep. And there's some things you can bring forward at a pretty hefty cost, but very specific items, not just anything you want. The gameplay is great. The gameplay is awesome. That's not the rant and rave. The rant and rave about Destiny the Taken King is, holy shit, they found a story in this one. They added so much voice acting. They added so much story. They replaced Peter Dinklage as the Dinklebot, the little ghost robot companion that, you know, kind of is your narrator throughout most of the game. They changed him to this new actor, something North. I can't remember his name. They gave him some great dialogue. He did all the old dialogue. They re-recorded over Peter Dinklage's stuff.
That's pretty cool.
And all the new stuff. So even if you're going back and doing old stuff, or you're hearing some old stuff for the first time, there's a new voice to it. There's a new delivery on some of that. The way they handle missions and bounties and all that is so much better. You can skip cinematics. If it feels like it's finally the game it was meant to be. The gameplay was always there.
Okay.
Now everything else is there as well.
Huh.
And it's been a real blast. I was really lucky that the Friday before the game came out, my school experienced a power outage that downed the air conditioners. So the game came out Tuesday. I have Tuesdays off, so I played the game. Wednesday's class canceled. Thursday's class canceled.
Yeah, that was pretty crazy.
So I had like three.
Yeah, you had a gamer vacation.
I had two and a half classes canceled. Yeah, I got one of my classes early, and so I got to play a lot more than I had anticipated. And I took kind of a month hiatus before it came out.
It was more like 2 months. More like 2 months. You hadn't played in a long time. I was considering surprised.
This is a game. It's kind of embarrassing. I have almost 1,300 hours invested in Destiny.
I am a self-described Destiny widow. That's what I would, but back in the day.
It's depressing because I know that because I looked at someone's, when you look at someone's Xbox profile, and you're both playing the same game, it'll tell you how many hours they've played and how many hours you've played and how many achievements. And just a quick little rundown comparison thing. And so I was looking at some guy that was in a public space that we invited to play with us. So that we could sneak in another friend and pack more people into this event that was happening. And it said, oh, he's played like 600 hours. And then it said, you've played, 1,285. And I'm like, oh, fuck. And so it's, I can't say enough about it. It's good. The dialogue is funny. Nathan Fillion steals the show for a lot of the story. He plays this Cade Six is the guy's name. He's a hunter, like a scout type class that has since retired from the field and is now in a more of a commander role. And as such, he longs for the days he was back in the field and always says things like, God, I wish I was going with you and things like that. But he has some really snappy, funny, clever dialogue. You go on this secret mission to establish a beachhead on this enormous, maybe 4,000 to 8,000 mile long dreadnought ship that's hiding in the moons of the rings of Saturn.
Jesus.
And you're trying to establish this beachhead with his stolen stealth drive that he had, locked in a vault somewhere. And he's going behind his peers back to do this with you. And as you succeed, he taunts one of the other, people, Zavala, who's played by the guy who was on Fringe and The Wire. The taller, slender, bald, black guy.
I can't remember
the actor's name, but he's a great voice actor in this, too. He says, hey, you know, Zavala, you want to, you ever wonder what it looks like to see an established transmat zone on a, you know, alien dreadnought? And he's like, what did you just do? And it kind of ends with, well, you know, a victory for you is a victory for the Vanguard. Good job, Guardian. And Nathan Fillion's like, yeah, everybody loves a bad idea when it works. It's just like,
that's
these,
great.
These like characters that were all talking head vendors that you just run, cash out your quest, go back out, sure. Cash out your quest, run back. They flesh them out. They have personality. They have character. They have story. I absolutely love it. I'm glad I gave it a chance and went back into it because it's better than ever for sure.
Awesome.
What about you?
And Molly is now a Destiny widow again.
I am again. It's all right, though, because I have a new obsession, and it's audiobooks. There's these audiobooks that I... Sharon Steitler, Bird Chick, friend of the show, told me about this book called You. And I think it's by Carolyn Keeper, but it's just called You. You need to listen to the audiobook if you're interested in it at all, because the narrator, I think his name's Santino Fontana, is incredible. The book is written in like it's first person, so it's like you walked into my bookstore and I knew immediately that we were going to be in love. And it's this guy who's, you know, like 25, who becomes obsessed with another young woman about his age, and like sort of just takes over her life. I mean, stalks her, but it's more than that. And I can't say much more without giving a lot away, but it is the most enthralling audiobook I have listened to in a long time. It was incredible. And then in between then, the NPR, I think it's NPR, I don't know how I got signed up for it, but this email thing called The Thread talks about books, recommended a book to me called Black Chalk, which was described as if a British Stephen King wrote The Secret History. And Stephen King's my favorite author, and The Secret History is my favorite non-Stephen King book.
So that's you're in the middle of that Venn diagram.
Okay. And that book was really good, and that was really great and surprising. There's no audiobook for that, but then that led me to, there was a quote on the back of that book that said, it's a lot like the Bellwether Revival. And I'm like, oh, the Bellwether Revival, what's that? And that's the audiobook I'm listening to now, which is really exciting and cool and weird. So I've just been just devouring audiobooks and books alike. And I started reading Neil Patrick Harris's Choose Your Own Autobiography.
Yeah.
Which is great. It's a Choose Your Own Adventure autobiography, and it's written in a way that you can pretty easily just kind of read through his life if that's what you want. Every time there's a, you know, go to the next thing, it'll be like, if you want to continue as a child actor, you know, turn just a few pages ahead. Or if you want to get straight to the sex and drugs, you know, like go to this and things like that. So it's very funny, very humble. He's a really great guy from what I've read so far, for someone who was thrust into stardom at about age 14. And it's so far, I've really liked that a lot, too. So and I will say I read Go Set a Watchman. Because Jeremy Stomberg lent it to me.
Take a drink.
I know. Yeah. I read 2/3 of it, and then I skipped to the end and read the last chapter and was like, yep, I'm good.
Uh-huh.
It's, hey, guess what? In the South, in the 70s, people were racist, and Atticus Finch was one of them. And also, the South had a lot of backwards ideas. And also, Jean-Louise Finch is a woman in the South. There's your book. It's super boring.
It bothers me that I mean, Atticus Finch, you know, is not a racist in the first book.
He is, actually. You know, well, I mean, it's not... just that he's defending a man because he knows he didn't do it. Yeah. And so his racism is very, it's very institutionalized. What his racism in Ghost of a Watchman is about segregation, desegregation specifically. And it's like, look, Jean-Louise, you don't want your kids going to the same school as the Negro kids, right? I mean, you've seen the Negro schools and the way they have to educate those people, and those people don't have the same levels of intelligence as us, and as a result, the schools have to be dumbed down for them. So it's going to be a lowest common denominator kind of thing where, like, you know, everyone's going to get dragged down. And so it's not so much that it's blacks are wrong as it is a everyone at the time...
is an institutionalized racist.
Yes, and so it's not... he's not a racist. He is a man who's 70-something in the South in the 1970s.
And there were a few white men that didn't think that way, but not too many.
Exactly. And, I mean, he's... but it's... mostly it's just boring. That's my main complaint about it, is it's boring. The majority of the book is Jean Louise being like, I should marry Hank, but I don't know. Should I get married? Being married seems like the thing that gets too tied down. Oh, geez. And it's just, I just don't care. I don't marry him. I don't care.
Yeah.
So that's my boner. But we, man, those were short boners.
They were short boners.
Our boners were stunted.
It's cold outside.
Mine was a big boner. Just, you know, it didn't last very long.
It was very small. Yeah. You know, we have these new five questions.
Oh, do
you? Do you guys... we haven't answered them yet.
That's
should.
True.
We what can answer fuck? Our five questions. What do you think?
Let's do that. I feel like that's a thing that should happen.
Sure. All right, let's start with Tim. Tim, question number one.
Sure.
What is a movie you'll stop and watch anytime it's on?
Okay, the movie that I will... that for whatever reason, always holds my interest, like partway through whatever, is The Hunt for Red October.
Mm.
And I don't know why. I mean, it's not like one of my top 10 favorite movies, but it just is a film that I find I can always just watch. I find it, I like the characters, I like the acting, I like the story, and just any part of it. I'll just be like, oh, look, here we are, Hunt for Red October. I'll just keep watching
this. I've never seen it all in one sitting. What? I've seen it all in, over the, you know, mixed together.
You've gotten
like,
up a few times.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I have seen the last 60% and the first half and, you know, the middle part another time. And so I've seen the whole movie, just not all together.
All right. Nick.
Yeah, same question. Yeah. Man, like, I feel like it's kind of a cheap answer to say, like, any of the original Star Wars trilogy, especially episodes 5 and 6, if they're on, I'll watch them. But... I have this kind of ritual. Every computer I've ever built, with the exception of the one I had to build in a classroom, I watch Johnny Mnemonic while putting together a computer.
And do you know how to fly a plane?
Is that so you'll
know?
That's Matrix.
I know.
But, is that so you'll do it faster?
No. It's just a stupid fun movie. It's like cheap B grade. What?
Did you write JNM for Johnny Mnemonic?
Yeah. Right, I did. Yeah. I did. Just because it's a dumb movie. It's on in the background. My attention and my hands are busy in the case. And I don't know, it's kind of a ritual at this point, like really more than anything else. Because I started, you know, in high school, like 14 or 15. So
yeah.
It was a kind of a cooler movie then. I mean, just as ridiculous, but now it's just a thing. I don't know. You, Molly? What's your movie?
It's not on very often, but Drop Dead Gorgeous.
Oh, sure.
I will always watch, but one that's on more often is Mean Girls for a similar reason.
Yeah.
There's so many amazing, hilarious lines in those movies, but Drop Dead Gorgeous is because of the Minnesota thing.
Sure.
I quote that movie so often.
Amber.
Oh, I'm so excited for the new Fargo.
Oh, because
there's gonna be the return of Amber Atkins as Kirsten Dunst is coming back to doing a Minnesota accent.
Yeah,
that's gonna be awesome.
Tim, question number two: what is your geekiest or most prized possession?
I have many geekiest and prized possessions, but I guess the one I'm gonna pick, just because it combines two things that I love, is the Palisades figure of Kermit the Frog dressed as Indiana Jones. Which is, it's actually called Adventurer Kermit because, you know, copyright infringement.
I'm looking at him right now.
It's clearly Kermit the Frog dressed as Indiana Jones. And that is, and Palisades is out of business. They don't make that shit anymore. So.
Your chocolate and peanut butter.
It is. It's my Reese's Kermit butter cup.
Gross. I think mine, it's tricky. I don't know. Molly's mom bought me this,
Doom?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of the I can't remember the name. It's Japanese, it starts with a K. I can't believe
it. Kotobukiya.
Kotobukiya, that's right. Kotobukiya Dr. Doom figurine with it's like, probably 18 to 24 inches tall, somewhere in there, with the you know, cape and all that, and the mask is magnet changeable with the more modern Ultimates mask and the original kind of more Jack Kirby mask.
It's fucking awesome.
It stands on a base that is lit, so the whole statue is lit from underneath. But I own a few comics that I'm really fond of. I own the first three Eastman and Laird Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles comics.
Mm-hmm.
I had the first issue of Chew.
Mm-hmm.
Which is worth some money. Yeah. But I also am... That's a comic that I was just like, oh, that looks fun.
Yeah.
And I grabbed the first issue and it's, you know, a darling now. And, you know, so I don't know.
For me, I would say the copy of The Wind in the Keyhole you got me for my birthday.
Oh.
That's in the, like, it's in this awesome, like, alligator slipcover, and it's bound, and it's signed, and it's a gorgeous illustrated version of The Wind in the Keyhole, which is the interlude book from the Dark Tower series that he wrote. But other than that, I have a copy of The Talisman in paperback, just like a shitty mass market, you know, paperback, like the fat ones you can get at the grocery store, of The Talisman by Stephen King and Peter Straub that I have read, I'm going to say 50 times. I've read it so many times that I've glued the binding together. I've taped it together. It's like, it's mended in 17 different ways. And it's just, that's my copy of The Talisman that I read in the bathtub. And it's just...
Do you have other copies of The Talisman?
No, that's my only copy.
I was just wondering, like, if you've got another that you keep in pristine shape.
No, I don't keep books in pristine shape except for this copy of Wind in the Keyhole. What about, it's fancy.
I thought I would have guessed you were going to say all your medals.
Oh, my running medals. I don't know. Those are just medals they gave me because I finished a race. It doesn't feel like a big deal. I don't know.
Interesting.
Like,
okay.
I love them a lot. I have like, I don't know, like 50 running medals, but it's just, I don't know. It doesn't feel, that just feels like something that happened for a thing I love to do.
Sure.
It'd be like if someone gave you a medal every time you built a computer. Like, I mean, it's...
Instead of a copy of Johnny Mnemonic.
Okay. Right, exactly.
So, question number three, we'll start with Nick. What fictional deity or character do you wish was real?
Kind of non-specific. I wish magical beasts were real.
Mm.
I wish we had, you know, unicorns and stink apes and big feet and chupacabras and even like more traditional, like named magical beasts, specific beasts like they have in keep wanting to say Fillory. That's not right. Mm-hmm. Narnia.
Sure.
They have specific named mythological creatures or like...
Fawns, Mr.
Yeah, or dragons. And I just wish... I think the animals we have are pretty damn cool and weird and awesome. But like, I wish we had some magical beasts. That'd be dope.
Yeah. For me, I would say... I mean, it's easy to be like, the Greek pantheon, but like, because that's, you can't really say one and not the rest, because they're all interlocked, but really I would say mermaids. I wish mermaids were real. I've always thought that would be so cool, and not, they don't have to be like human women with big boobies or whatever, like Ariel style, but just like the idea that there are some kind of mythical... undersea, like Atlanteans, like kind of thing.
Human level intelligence, like they have language and they.
Yeah, like they're mermaids, like Little Mermaid. Like there's a kingdom under there. There's King Triton. There's his daughters, and like there's the whole
there's
palace.
A crab that knows how to write music.
There's a not racist, but definitely not racist crab, and like a dumb fish, and Ariel's bra doesn't match her tail, unlike her sisters and all that. Right. Yeah.
Tim?
Yeah, Tim, what do you...
Ghosts. I wish ghosts were real.
That's a good one.
I think that it's just... I mean, the idea of, like, an afterlife of a heaven and hell doesn't sound interesting, but just sticking around and hanging out in your house for eternity.
And that's my second. I gotta go. I agree.
I wish ghosts were real.
I would really love to meet a ghost.
We gotta do that ghost hunting field trip.
Yes, we really do. Okay, question four. We'll start with Nick. Say religion is gone. What is the biggest problem humanity now faces?
Income inequality.
Yeah.
Quality of life disparity.
Yep. Agreed.
We kind of discussed this to some degree with Rebecca Watson with her answer, but because I believe it was the same, but I think religion mostly exacerbates that problem as religion exists now, even though that is basically, most religions are like against that, or should be, mm-hmm. if they you know, followed their own shit. And so not all people, some are good or whatever, but working against it. But I think, I'm feeling the burn.
Yeah.
And I'm planning to vote for Bernie Sanders in the primary. And I would encourage anyone that feels that income inequality is a real problem that needs attention and viable solutions implemented to do the same.
Yeah, I'm going to vote for Bernie Sanders as long as I can.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. Tim, what do you think is the biggest problem now?
Income inequality is a good answer, but in the interest of looking at some other issues, I'm going to say resource depletion.
Hmm. Oh, yeah.
I mean, that's one of the things that, as a species, it's not tied to religion, but we suck at conservation.
Mm-hmm.
Get your ass to Mars.
And that's going to be a problem. I mean, fresh water is a problem. Fossil fuels is a problem. I mean, all of these things are an issue that we face, and that actually is with or without religion. I think it's a huge issue.
I'm gonna say the and just again, not to say that your issues don't matter, because I mean, again, like you said, exploring other issues. I'm gonna go with the concept of sex positivity. I think that if we could just get over ourselves, because the majority of cultures are not cool with sex, and yet we all have it. And we all want it, and nudity and sex and all of it. I mean, transgender issues, feminist issues, sure. All that stuff, homophobia, that all is blended into this idea of being squicked out by sex and naked bodies and what people do, and being overly concerned with what
which
people do.
Which is incredibly natural. Everyone wants to do to some degree, and is literally necessary for the human life to continue.
We've got to do an episode on sex positivity. We've touched on it a lot.
Yeah, anyway. That'd be good to have Jeffrey on for that, because he wants to talk about that.
Yeah.
All right.
Question number five. We'll start with Molly. What is your favorite quote?
I think my hang on. I'm gonna pull it up. Hold on. Give me 1 second. Because I know what it is. No, it won't take me very long. It's the Epicurus quote about God. And I know I'll find it with just this time second of Google thing. Here it is. All right. Is God willing to prevent evil but not able? Then he is not omnipotent. Is he able but not willing? Then he is malevolent. Is he both able and willing? Then whence cometh evil? Is he neither able nor willing? Then why call him God? That's my favorite quote about religion. My favorite, like, geeky quote would be the Gunslinger's Litany, which is I do not shoot with my hand, like, you know, and all that.
Tim?
Mine is from my favorite movie, Raiders of the Lost Ark, but I think it is actually a fine mantra to live by, which is, I don't know, I'm making this up as I go. Because I kind of go, you know, really, we're all making this up as we go. And
I like that
Indiana Jones is able to admit it.
That's good.
Mine is from Groucho Marx. It's, I, not events, have the power to make me happy or unhappy today. I can choose which it shall be. Yesterday is dead and tomorrow hasn't arrived yet. I have just one day, today, and I'm going to be happy in it.
That's good. I just realized that I was put on the spot going first, and I hadn't prepared. I want to check one thing here, because I know in my about on Facebook I have other quotes. I just want to see if there's anything that matters to me. Hold on. All right, so I do. Another quote I have that I like is, of course I can't find it because Facebook is, it is my legacy to do anything to stop those who would fuck to make dragons. It's from Your Highness.
Your Highness.
And my personal motto is, ain't nothing like me except me, which is from Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right.
Anyway, I have a lot of quotes I like because I like quoting things a lot.
Quotes are good. That's why it's one of our questions, because quotes
true.
Are good.
It's true. Thank you all for listening to our tiny but robust boners and our long but important question answers. And
they're goddamn important.
They were important. And so those were our new 5 questions. If you want to write your answers to our new 5 questions, please write to 5questions@geekswithoutgod.com. We have been amazing, and you have been the audience. So you know that we're amazing.
You just sit near the whole episode, you're going, God, They're so amazing.
They're so amazing.
I don't want to answer the five questions because their answers are fucking brilliant.
Oh my God, the Geeks Without God are like so amazing. No, but seriously, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, rate us on iTunes, chime in, and do the thing. What's got you hard this week? Let us know. Come see the Twin Cities Horror Festival.
Yeah.
Come see Big Fun Radio Fun Time. Come see Vilification Tennis, Renaissance, Huzzah and Such, Renfest in the City, October 16th and 17th. And just come all over everything.
Yeah, because you've got a boner.
Yeah, and that's the only way to get rid of it. See you later.
Bye.
I'm so hard for you right now.
Is it already over?
Yes.
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. Authority, we don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, we're geeks, we're geeks without God. We're geeks, geeks without God.
We understand biology really well.